You will look at our chakshur many times, as my Sri Gurudev Mahasa, as we mentioned, today is the glorious appearance day of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll read the translation of this verse, or these verses, written by Narottama Das Thakur. So I'm going to just take excerpts from Srila Prabhupada's translation in purport here, because we don't have a lot of time. So, Gauranga Balite Havi Bulaga Sharira means one has attained the perfection of chanting when, as soon as he chants the name of Lord Gauranga, Prabhupada said, who initiated the Sankirtan movement, at once there is Shiva. And then, Hari Hari Balite Nayane Bhavir, while chanting Hare Krishna, there will be tears in the eyes. And then Ara Kabi Metal Chan Korana Hove. We are all asking about the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is the original spiritual master, so we have to approach Lord Gauranga through the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Narottama Das says that the symptom of one who has actually received the causes of Lord mercy of Lord Nityananda is that he has no more material desire. Arakabe Nitai Chan Korana Hoive Samsara Vashana Mora Kabe Ducha Hoive. So Samsara Vashana means desire for material enjoyment, and when one gets the mercy of Lord Nityananda, the desire for material enjoyment becomes nil, non-existent. Then Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoive Akuti. When shall I be very much eager to study the books left by the six Goswamis? And so as long as the mind is too much absorbed in materialistic thought, one cannot enter into the kingdom of Vrindavan. But Narottama Das says, Vishaya Charya Kavi Shura Kave Mana Kavi Hamahi Rabu Shri Vrindavana. When the mind is completely purified, being freed from material anxieties and desires, then I shall be able to understand Vrindavan and the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. And then my spiritual life will be successful. So, this poem written by Narottama Das Thakur indicates the exoteric reason for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent. As we mentioned yesterday, there's an exoteric reason and an esoteric reason. Exoteric means the apparent reason. Esoteric means something hidden that only very few understand. So first we'll talk about the exoteric reason. Of course, the exoteric reason is indicated by the Yuga Dharma. In every age, there is a particular Dharma. In the Satya Yuga, it's meditation. And the Treta Yuga is big fire sacrifices and different things like that. In the Dwarpa Yuga, it is opulent temple worship, and in the Kali Yuga, it is Krishna Nam Sankirtan. So, this cycle of different Yuga Dharmas occurs during every Divi Yuga. Divi Yuga means the four Yugas together. So, but we are in a very unusual Kali Yuga, because not in every Kali Yuga Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advents, nor in every Dwarpa Yuga, do you have Sri Krishna advancing. So only once in the day of Brahma does Krishna appear, and once in the day of Brahma does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear directly after Krishna. So it's very, very unusual. Of course, for Lord Brahma, every day he sees Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. So that's pretty good. If you were Lord Brahma, then you can look forward to that every day around the middle of the day. So, but there's something very unusual. Even though the Yuga Dharma and Kali Yuga is always Krishna Nam Sankirtan in every single Yuga, but in this particular Kali Yuga, we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as I mentioned before, and the Krishna Nam Sankirtan can bring one to the highest platform of understanding the relationship of Krishna with the intimate devotees in Vrindavan, specifically the gopis. So this is very special. Why do we have this particular dispensation in this particular Kali Yuga? Because Krishna himself appears in his original form, and actually not only in his original form, in the mood of Srimati Radharani. In the previous Yuga, the Dwarpa Yuga, you have Krishna giving us instructions from the Bhagavad Gita how to attain perfection. And Srila Prabhupada says in a very nice class that I listened to yesterday that Krishna tells us that the way to achieve perfection is sarva dharman parichaya mamaikam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papayevyo moksha yashyami masuchaha. Now, that's very difficult to understand how to execute that particular statement. It's very, very difficult. And of course, Krishna gives some other hints in the Bhagavad Gita too. You know, manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. So, always fix your mind upon me, become my devotee. But how do you do that? How do you actually do that? There's someone's mobile phone, which I always leave off during the morning program. It's a good idea. So, I'm sure it's something important, like Lord Chaitanya calling you. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. So, how do you do these things? Surrender to Krishna. So, really, you have in the Bhagavad Gita, sambandha vigyan, and a touch of abhideya, you know, a hint of abhideya. And I'll explain what that means. Sambandha means basically the relationships between the material world, the jiva soul, Krishna, time, karma, all these different topics that are mentioned in the Gita. Abhideya means the process of realizing one's position and relationship with Krishna, which we know is sadhana bhakti, bhagavati, and finally prema bhakti. So that's actually the abhideya. And prayojana, of course, means to go back to home, back to Godhead, you know, to realize fully one's constitutional nature. So in order to teach the living entities how to execute Krishna's instructions in the Gita, then Krishna himself has to appear. And he teaches us by example. Just as Krishna says in the Gita, yad yad acharyati sheshtas tat tat evaituro janaha. As a great person acts, then the common men follow. So Krishna comes, and not only does he come to be as God, you know, because Lord Chaitanya is God, but he comes and acts like a devotee, so much so that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course he was called Nimai Pandit when he was young, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't manifest fully to everyone his position until he took initiation from the Sri Yashwara Puri. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from Sri Yashwara Puri, he was even harassing the devotees. He would go to the devotees, and with his logic, that's called nyaya, with his logic he would actually challenge the devotees, and the devotees would run away from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They would go to the opposite side of the street just to avoid him. And they would pray to Krishna, let Nimai Pandit become a devotee, because if he becomes a devotee, he'll be a great preacher. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to that extent, didn't even exhibit his position until he took initiation. Interesting. So he's showing us, by example, how to be a devotee. And not only how to be a regular devotee, but how to experience the moods or the bhavas of Braj. And only when Krishna appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can he teach us that highest aspect of devotional service. Only in that particular case can that happened. Other incarnations of God, yes, they're coming and teaching us various things. Of course, teaching us about the soul, about the spiritual world, and everything like that. But as far as the highest manifestation, that has to be Krishna in his original form. Because as we know, Krishna has various manifestations, but the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. Ete jansa kalapumsa, Krishna's tu Bhagavan swayam. That every other incarnation is a portion or a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So Krishna comes as he is. And so that's the exoteric reason. And of course, to accomplish that exoteric reason, Krishna has his various devotees. Sangha Pangastra Parshanam. He has his various devotees appear with him like a Dvaitacharya, because we know the Panchatattva. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. They're all his associates, as well as other associates like Murari Gupta and so many, Kavi Karnapur, so many associates appeared with the Lord, just like the Lord doesn't come down alone. So, in this way, Lord Chaitanya came with his intimate associates to carry on the Sankirtan movement, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent was prayed for by Advaitacharya. And Advaitacharya is actually God himself, and Advaitacharya realized his inadequacy in being able to change the consciousness of the souls in Kali Yuga. So imagine that. Advaitacharya is God. He's Sadashiva. He's Mahavishnu. And even he realized, you know, I can't do anything about it. Kali Yuga is so bad. Kaler Doshanate Raja Nashiko Mahatmana. It is an ocean of quarrel. Manda Samanda Matyo. Manda Bhagyo Padrata. Just like we see sometimes, even in our ISKCON movement, people quarrel for no reason whatsoever, isn't it? They find fault. You know, fault finding is the favorite sport in Kali Yuga, isn't it? Favorite sport. For no reason whatsoever. Just because someone has a different opinion from you, or just because someone else has some position, then they become your enemy. It's like that. Just like there's one country in Europe, which we won't mention, which Kardamuni mentioned last night. They form political parties, and sometimes the friends become enemies, and the enemies become friends, isn't it? Your previous enemy now becomes your good friend because you have a new enemy. And you see, the whole world is like that too, not only ISKCON. But the whole world, there are so many terrorist activities. Anyway, I'm not going to get into the world today. So it's such a difficult time, the age of quarrel, the age of iron, that only Krishna in his original form can solve the whole thing. And therefore, Advaitacharya realized that, and he prayed to Krishna. He was offering water to the Ganges and Tulsi leaves, worshipping the Shalagram Chila, and crying out. He was crying out, Krishna, you have to appear. And for those exoteric reasons, apparent reasons, Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now we'll talk about the esoteric reason. What time do we have till? Only 8? A little warmer. Okay. We'll talk about the esoteric reason. Then I want to tell something very interesting about the esoteric reason. Because the esoteric reason for Krishna's advent involves something called greed. Now, normally in this material world, greed is not really something we like, right? You know, what are the three gates leading to hell? Lust, anger, greed. So, but everything we have in this world has its original counterpart in the spiritual world. For example, there is lust in this world, and in the spiritual world we have the relationship of Krishna with the gopis, but the gopis are lusting after pleasing the senses of Krishna, whereas in the material world people are lusting after pleasing their own senses. You know, it is actually love in the spiritual world, which becomes contaminated and manifests as lust in this material world. And then you, even in the spiritual world, you have anger. Man, where Radharani, she's getting angry with Krishna. And sometimes she has her associates with sticks, ready to beat Krishna if Krishna comes near. So that's there in the spiritual world. So everything you have here is there in its original, pure, pristine form in the spiritual world. So greed is also there. Just like we hear from Srila Rupa Goswami that the price of pure devotional service is lalyam. Lalyam means greed. So one has to be very greedy to be Krishna conscious. Greedy to please Krishna. So Krishna has some greed and desire too. Of course we understand that Krishna is up to kama, that whatever he desires is automatically fulfilled. But for the purpose of pastimes, he exhibits greed, or what appears to be a desire because he's missing something. He doesn't miss anything, but for pastime's sake. So there's a very interesting description given. And actually this was given by one of my godbrothers, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, that you have the pastimes of Lord Nrsingadev. And a very interesting description, that Lord Nrsingadev appeared, of course, from a pillar, right? So who was Lord Nrsingadev's father? A pillar. So Lord Nrsingadev is thinking, I want to have a real father. You know, someone I can relate to, loving exchange. Because you cannot relate loving exchange to a pillar, right? Dear dad, you know, I love you. Or my son, I love you. So, therefore, the Lord is not completely satisfied with that relationship with the pillar. Which is interesting. Also in regard to Lord Nrsingadev, I was listening to Prabhupada this morning, because I listen to Prabhupada every morning. Prabhupada was saying that Prahlad Maharaj, he was able to sit on the Lord's lap and have an intimate relationship. And Prabhupada said, we can have the same thing by chanting Hare Krishna. When we chant Hare Krishna, we can have the same or even more intimate relationship, because namachintamani krishnas chaitanya rasa vigra puna shuddha nitya mukto vinakvam namanamino, that Krishna is the same as his holy name. So anyway, so Krishna has some greed. He's thinking, I want a father, of course. And then in Krishna Leela, Krishna has a very loving father, Nanda Maharaj, and loving mother, Mother Yashodamayi. So his greed is fulfilled, the point I'm making, which is an interesting metaphor. His greed is fulfilled when he appears in Vrindavan. And actually, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna was born in Vrindavan, not in Mathura. Expansion of Krishna, that is, Vasudeva Krishna appeared in Mathura, and then when that Vasudeva Krishna was brought by Vasudeva to Vrindavan, that Vasudeva Krishna emerged into Rajendra Nandana. So Krishna's desire is fulfilled in that way. And then also the example is given of Lord Ram's pastimes. In Lord Ram's pastimes, Lord Ram has some friends, right? Can anyone think, who are the friends of Lord Ram? Sugriva and others. And guess what? For those, that friendship is not intimate. So Lord Ram is hankering after the intimate friendship, and that intimate friendship, where the friend becomes actually superior, is manifested when? In Krishna's pastimes, right? Fantastic. And then in Lord Ram's pastimes, you also have this occurrence of Vipralamba Seva, where Sita Devi is sent away. But that's a rather forced circumstance. Whereas in Krishna's pastimes, Krishna goes away. And you don't have the full manifestation of Purva Ram and all these other aspects of the relationship. So Lord Ram is also hankering. You see, Krishna in his various forms wants to further or deepen these different rasas or relationships. So Lord Ram is actually hankering. Of course, Ram and Krishna, they're the same. I understand. I'm not a polytheist. Advaita chuta nadi anata rupam ajam purana purusham navi yoganam cha. But it's for pastime sake. So Lord Ram is hankering to actually have a complete manifestation of Vipralamba seva, or the conjugal relationship. And of course, in Ram's pastime, it's ekapatni brata, one wife. That's it. So then you actually go to the Krishna Leela, where all these desires of the Lord, or as we mentioned before, the greed that the Lord has to experience more intimacy, all these things are fulfilled in Krishna's pastimes. However, there's several things that are not fulfilled in Krishna's pastimes. And we're going to read a little bit from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about this. We're reading from the Adi Leela, chapter 4. And this is a manifestations of Krishna's greed. I'm not going to read the Bengali because we don't have a lot of time. So Krishna is saying, Sri Radhika is the highest abode of that love. In other words, Ashraya. Srimati Radharani is Ashraya Tattva and Krishna is Vishaya Tattva. So Ashraya means the resting place or the abode of something, and so she's the resting place or the abode of love of Krishna. And Krishna is the Vishaya, the enjoyer of that particular love. And Krishna is, I am its only object. I taste the bliss to which the object of love is entitled, but the pleasure of Srimati Radharani, the abode of that love, is 10 million times greater. Can you imagine that? So we say that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, right? But Srimati Radharani enjoys more than Krishna. What we can also learn from that is that, of course, we are not on that platform of the gopis of Vrindavan and Krishna's eternal residence. But by serving Krishna, one can enjoy more than Krishna. So Krishna wants to become his own servant. And Krishna says, my mind, this is a manifestation of the greed. He says, my mind races to taste the pleasure experienced by the abode, that's the Ashraya Radharani, but I cannot taste it. Even by my best efforts, how may I taste it? And then Krishna says, if sometimes I can be the abode of that love, only then may I taste its joy. So Krishna becomes greedy to have more pleasure. Very, very interesting. So, thinking in this way, Lord Krishna was curious to taste that love. His eager desire for that love increasingly blazed in his heart. That was one desire. Now, please hear of another. These are all the words of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, translated by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So, seeing his own beauty, Lord Krishna began to consider, so this is another type of greed. My sweetness is wonderful, infinite, and full. No one in the three worlds can find its limit. Only Radhika, by the strength of her love, tastes all the nectar of my sweetness. Although Radha's love is pure like a mirror, its purity increases at every moment. My sweetness also has no room for expansion, yet it shines before that mirror and newer beauty. There is a constant competition between my sweetness and the mirror of Radha's love. Both go on increasing, but neither knows defeat. My sweetness is always newer and newer. Devotees taste it according to their own respective love. If I see my sweetness in a mirror, I am tempted to taste it, but nevertheless, I cannot. So in other words, there's sometimes in Krishna's pastimes where Krishna looks at his reflection in the river or in a lake, and Krishna says, oh, who is this beautiful person? Now with Krishna, that is not false ego, or as we say in English, narcissism. Anyone's heard that word before? Narcissism? No. Anyway, I'm not going to tell you the derivation of it because it's a whole other story from Greek mythology. But so Krishna looks at himself. Actually, one of the reasons why in traditional ashrams they didn't have mirrors because people would get attracted to their material bodies. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur never used a mirror. And devotees asked Prabhupada, was his tilak straight? And Prabhupada said, yes, because you learn how to do it without a mirror after some time. Because when people look at themselves in a mirror, it's a great attraction because we're part and parcel of Krishna, so we have that same tendency to be attracted by ourselves. But Krishna, with Krishna, it's not false ego. Krishna says, I cannot taste that sweetness just by seeing my reflection. I find that if I deliberate on a way to taste it, I find that I hanker for the position of Radhika. So in that, there's greed again. So that whole point, we mentioned about greed. Lord Chaitanya's manifestation is out of greed. That's the internal esoteric reason. And so, he says, who manifests an abundance of sweetness greater than mine, which has never been experienced before, and which causes wonder to all. Alas, I myself, my mind bewildered upon seeing this beauty, impetuously desire to enjoy it, like Srimati Radharani. So I'm skipping a few things here. Because there are actually many descriptions about Krishna's attraction by the gopis and the Chaitanya. We advise the devotees to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So then we'll go on to the third reason for Lord Chaitanya's esoteric advent, beginning with text 160 in the same chapter. This conclusion of rasa is extremely deep. Anyone else who claims to know it must have heard it from Sarup Damodar Goswami, for he was the most intimate companion of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let's skip ahead a little bit. The desire to gratify one's own senses is kama or lust, but the desire to please the senses of Krishna is prema or love. Let me just skip. Anyway, there's descriptions here about the gopis' love. So maybe we won't have time to read that. Anyway, so we're not going to read anymore right now. So the point is that Krishna appears to understand the love the gopis have for him, to taste the sweetness of the love that the gopis have for him, and finally to appreciate his own beauty from the gopis' perspective. So that is Krishna's greed. And when Krishna does that, then he assumes the color and mood of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is known as Gauranga. Radharani is known as Gaurangi. And when Krishna assumes that form as a byproduct, or assumes that mood, as a byproduct, he becomes more merciful. Krishna is ordinarily merciful, but to a point. But Srimati Radharani, the feminine counterpart of Krishna, is more merciful than Krishna is. Like we say, the devotees are more merciful than Krishna. So, therefore, when Krishna assumes the mood of the devotee, he becomes more merciful. And that's why Lord Chaitanya's Namo Mahavanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Pura Tusena Maha. He's the most munificent. He's giving away freely what no incarnation of God has ever given away before, which is pure love of God. Because he is in the mood of Srimati Radharani. She is the manifestation of Lord Krishna's compassion, or the Absolute Truth, the compassionate aspect of the Supreme Absolute Truth. So, just one other thing I wanted to read, because now we talked about the esoteric and exoteric reasons for the Lord's advent. Now the Shastras, a few quotes, just to enhance your faith. We'll greet the deities in 5 minutes. I just want to read a few quotes from the Vedic literatures that verify that Lord Chaitanya is God. Because we find so many people coming, especially in India, like Prabhupada would say, there's basically a God coming from India every week. When I was a young devotee, there were actually so many gods from India. There was one god who was 16 years old. And when he was, this particular god fell down with his secretary, ran away with his secretary, and his mother sued him in court. She said, that son is no longer God. My other son is God. So there was so much craziness. So in order to ascertain whether someone is actually God, it has to be has to be predicted in the Vedic literatures. So in the oldest of the Vedic literatures, you have the four Vedas, of course, Rig, Sama, Atharva, Yajur Veda. In the Atharva Veda, and I'm just going to read the translation, it says, in the seventh Manvantara, the Supreme Lord will, accompanied by his own associates, descend in a golden form. He will teach the chanting of the Lord's holy names. And then also in the Atharva Veda, these are the original Vedas accepted by every Vedic scholar, these four original Vedas. This is amazing. The Supreme Lord himself says, when between 4,000 and 5,000 years of Kali Yuga pass, I will descend to the earth in the place by the Ganges shore. I will be a tall, saintly Brahmin devotee of the Lord and have a golden complexion, and I will be renounced and free from all desire. I will accept the order of sannyas. I will be a devotee advanced in bhakti yoga. I will chant the holy names of the Lord. I will taste the sweet mellows of my own devotional service. Only a great devotees will understand this. Amazing. So the purposes of the Lord's advent were predicted. Another place in the Samaveda, which is one of the original Vedas. To deliver the people devoured by the sins of Kali Yuga, I will, accompanied by my associates, descend to this earth in a place by the Ganges shore. I will be a Brahmin Avaduta Sannyasi. Again and again I will chant the holy names of the Lord. There's so many quotes I have here. Of course, in the Bhagavatam we have this famous quote, Krishna Varnam Purisa Krishnam Sango Pangasya Parashadam. Yadyahi Sankirtanar Pariyari Yajantihi Sumetasa, that those who have intelligence in this age of Kali will worship the Lord who appears with his associates, weapons, confidential companions to have the Sankirtan movement. So in the Adi Purana, it also states that I will assume the form of a Brahmin, sannyasi, and deliver the whole world, the Karma Purana. In the Garuda Purana, there's a quote. I mean, so many of the Puranas. And in, finally, the final quote I wanted to read was in the Garuda Purana, where it says, in my complete original spiritual form, perfect and complete, I will become the son of Sachi Devi. So even Lord Chaitanya's mother is predicted here. In Navadvip Mayapur, at the beginning of Kali Yuga. Final quote, and this is from the Garuda Purana. In the first sanja of Kali Yuga, the Lord will assume a golden form. First he will be the husband of Lakshmi. Then he will be a sannyasi who stays near Jagannath Puri and executes devotional service. So there are all these quotes that verify the Lord Chaitanya is God. So we should be able to quote these or cite these quotes when we're challenged by anybody. So if anyone's interested, I can send them the compilation of the quotes I put together about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you can, basically, of course we're not talking about defeating anyone, but convincing people about Lord Chaitanya. Because without worshipping Lord Chaitanya in Kali Yuga, no one can actually make any advancement. And you have to worship Lord Chaitanya with Lord Nityananda. If you neglect one and worship the other one, it's described like half a hen logic by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, which means it's like that story of someone trying to get the chicken's eggs by cutting the chicken in half. It doesn't work. You're an offender. Actually, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami states that it's better to be a complete atheist than worship one and not the other. So we see them both, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. Srila Prabhupada instructed us to install Chaitanya, Nittai, deities of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Nittai, Gaura Sundar, everywhere around the world to get their mercy, because Lord Nityananda is the original spiritual master. Without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram, no one can make spiritual advancement. So our method, we have a whole methodology of becoming Krishna conscious, and I'll end with this. First thing is, we approach Lord Nityananda through the spiritual master, Ado Guru Para Ashraya. Then, after we've approached Lord Nityananda, we can approach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to the ecstatic platform. But to understand fully the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, it is required to approach the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And all this has to be done seriously, executing the sadhana process, serving Srila Prabhupada's institution, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, serving the Vaishnavas in Prabhupada's institution, and tolerating whatever difficulties are there, tatenu kampam suchamikshmana, bunjanivatma kritam vipakam, ridvab papurvir, vidadam namaste, jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak, and going on serving Krishna with one's body, mind, and words, and then perfection is assured. And we will join Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Panchatattva in the spiritual world. So I think we should end now. Time to greet the deities. Okay, should we take questions or just end? What do you think? Any questions or comments? So we described the Supreme Personality of Godhead's greed to experience the intimate love of his devotees and the intimate relationships with his devotees. Very interesting. Yeah.
We can participate in this lessons of Lord Chaitanya by helping in fulfilling this external reasons for his appearance.
Yeah.
But what is our relationship with these internal things, that is something that has nothing to do with us, or?
That's a very interesting. Interesting question. To experience or to have a relationship or to have realization of the internal things, one must serve Lord Chaitanya in the external manifestation of preaching Krishna consciousness. Like our method, the question you raised is interesting, because there are many devotees who advocate a different process of devotional service other than Sankirtan. They advocate the process of what's called Siddha Pranali. In other words, to understand, they say, to understand the intimate manifestations of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one has to just sit down, get informed about his eternal relationship and all the aspects of his eternal relationship, and develop that internally. That's called Siddha Pranali, which one gets a Kadasha Bhava. In other words, there's 11 aspects of one's relationship. That is not the teaching of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, nor of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada stated, one has to deserve, then desire. It's a very interesting statement Prabhupada made. In other words, Yes, ultimately we are entitled to the internal thing, but you have to earn it. Now, how do you earn it? You earn it by pleasing Krishna's devotee. And how do you please a devotee who is on that platform, the internal platform, like Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? You have to do what they say. You cannot please someone by doing what you think will please them. Right? That is not service. Like Prabhupada said, if I say, bring me water, and you bring me milk, even though, in one sense, milk is better than water, that's not service. That's not pleasing. So, yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nanakati katopi. So, if one pleases Srila Prabhupada, how? By preaching Krishna consciousness. Very easy. And if one displeases by doing something that Prabhupada said not to do, you will never achieve Krishna. And Prabhupada wrote in his very interesting poem, Vrindavan Bhajan, he says, those who simply sit and think that they're developing these internal things, I'm paraphrasing right now, he said, they're simply eating the mind's bananas. Has anyone heard that quote before? Vrindavan Bhajan. Now that means, you know, of course in Fiji there's not many bananas anymore because you had a hurricane and we're looking all over for bananas. But in that particular context, bananas means crazy. When I was young, if someone was crazy, you would say they're bananas. So in other words, or it refers to a monkey. So in other words, they're an illusion. Because you can have Maya Krishna. Just like Pondraka, he was Maya Krishna. Remember the story in Krishna book, Pondraka? So you can think you're Krishna conscious, and you cannot, you can be in complete Maya. How is that? Because we have a tendency to be illusion in perfect senses, you know, all those different frailties of the conditioned soul. So the only objective standard we have for understanding whether we're Krishna conscious or not is if Krishna's representative is pleased. Because the super soul is there, yes, talking to us. But we don't understand what he is saying. It's like sometimes we run into Christians and they say, God is in my heart. And I say to them, all right, God's in your heart. Are you eating meat? And they said, yeah, God told me it's okay. I said, you must have a different God in your heart than I have in my heart. So the only way we know what super soul wants is the external manifestation of super soul, right? Otherwise, we can think we're completely Krishna conscious and we can be immersed in lust. Prabhupada said if we prematurely try to enter into these different topics, then we'll, instead of purification, we'll get putrefaction. That means we'll rot. So we have to be very, very careful about these things. And so Prabhupada indicated in his poem Vrindavan Bhajan, that when one preaches, then the internal life automatically manifests. He says this, what he called Nirjana Bhajan, actually, in his poem. Will automatically manifest if one carries out the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. What is their order? Yari Dekatari Gara Krishna Upadesh. That's their order. When did Lord Chaitanya ever say in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, my order is to sit down and try to just figure out whether you're a gopi? Is there one verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that says that? Can anyone? Any scholars? One verse? Lord Chaitanya, during the final stages, yes, of his pastimes, he was immersed in the big Palumba Seva, but there's no instruction by Lord Chaitanya. You sit down and you figure out who you are. Lord Chaitanya said, become guru, preach Krishna consciousness, whoever you meet. And especially those who appeared in India. Of course, Lord Chaitanya was preaching to everyone in India, obviously. He didn't come here to Fiji. So he said, if someone is born in the land of Bhartavarsha, they should dedicate themselves to working for Paropakara, for the benefit of others. I mean, these are the instructions of Lord Chaitanya. So what are you going to do? You're going to follow the instructions of Lord Chaitanya, or are you going to make up what you think Lord Chaitanya wants you to do? And if you follow the instructions, then automatically this intimate understanding will manifest itself. That's what I'm seeing. It's automatic. I mean, obviously, when it manifests itself, you associate with the other devotees, you talk to advanced devotees, you get advice from advanced devotees, and you continue preaching. And you don't show it to everybody else. Oh, last night I realized I was a gopi. Bhagavatam Prasanna. My dear devotees, last night I realized I was a Manjari gopi. Hare Krishna. Right. If your devotee does not manifest externally his symptoms of ecstasy, I mean, sometimes it happens by accident, like in Prabhupada, once or twice, but Prabhupada did not generally manifest that. These are intimate things. Okay, on that happy note, let's greet the deities. All glorious to